Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown, where we take a dense earnings call transcript and turn it into something you can actually enjoy with your coffee.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Jordan. Today, we're diving into JPMorgan Chase, ticker JPMorgan, second quarter 2026 results. And Alex, this one had a little bit of everything. Blowout numbers, a leadership shakeup, and Jamie Dimon being Jamie Dimon.
Before we get into it, quick disclaimer. This podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Good, glad that's out of the way. So let's start with the headline numbers.
JPMorgan posted net income of $16.9 billion, EPS of $6.14, and a return on tangible common equity of 23%. Strip out some one-off items, and revenue was actually up 15% year-over-year.
And that growth was really broad-based. Markets revenue was the biggest driver, but you also had higher asset management fees, stronger investment banking revenue, and higher deposit and loan balances. The one drag was lower rates, but honestly, that barely made a dent.
Expenses climbed too, $27.3 billion, up 15%, mostly tied to volume and revenue-related costs plus front office hiring. Credit costs came in at $2.5 billion. And here's a nice surprise for investors. The board is bumping the quarterly dividend up to $1.65 a share starting next quarter.
Let's talk about the business lines because two of them really stood out. The CIB, that's the Corporate and Investment Bank, had a monster quarter. Revenue up 27% year-over-year. Investment banking fees up 30%, with double-digit growth across the board.
And equities trading? Up 86% year-over-year. 86%, Jordan.
That's the kind of number that makes you sit up. CFO Jeremy Barnum was pretty candid on the call, though. He said this level of equity strength is a little bit hard to imagine being repeated. So management itself is tapping the brakes on extrapolating this quarter forward.
Right, and same with investment banking. Some of that came from large deals getting pulled forward and a couple of high-profile IPOs. But he also said the pipeline remains quite robust, and there's this interesting dynamic where the buzz around big deals seems to be generating even more activity.
Meanwhile, on the asset and wealth management side, AUM hit $5.1 trillion, up 18%, with $50 billion in long-term net inflows. And in consumer banking, they added over 500,000 net new checking accounts this quarter. That's a franchise that's just quietly compounding.
Let's get into the bigger story of the call, though, the leadership news. JPMorgan just elevated Doug and Troy to co-presidents, and longtime consumer banking head Marion Lake is retiring as a result.
This dominated the Q&A. Analysts kept probing Jamie Dimon about succession, and he was pretty firm that the timetable for his own tenure hasn't changed, still talking in terms of a few years, plus or minus, with the board ultimately deciding.
One exchange I loved, Mike Mayo basically said, half joking, "You've now got an FX trader running the consumer bank," referring to Troy. Barnum jumped in to correct him. Troy was actually an options trader, not FX. Small detail, but it got a laugh.
Dimon's broader point was that he wants leaders who've operated across the whole company, not just people who came up through investment banking. He was pretty explicit that leaders who only understand trading or deal-making can end up neglecting the rest of the franchise.
Let's talk guidance, because they raised it meaningfully. Full-year NII outlook ex markets moved up to about $96.5 billion and total NII to roughly $105.5 billion. Expenses also got revised up to about $107.5 billion, mostly because more revenue means more revenue-related costs, which, as Dimon pointed out, is actually a good problem to have.
There was a great moment where Dimon pushed back on the idea that negative operating leverage is automatically bad. He basically said, "If your margin is high and revenue is growing fast, of course expenses grow too, but the marginal return on that new revenue is way higher than your average margin." It's simple math, but it's a point worth remembering when you see headline expense growth numbers.
They also lowered their expected card net charge-off rate to about 3.2%, which reflects a healthier-than-expected consumer. Delinquencies are actually coming in a bit better than they projected.
On the macro side, Diamond gave one of those classic Diamond lines when asked if this is as good as it gets. It's getting close to as good as it gets. We just don't know how long it's going to last, which is either refreshingly honest or delightfully unhelpful, depending on your mood.
There was also a good back and forth on capital. JP Morgan's been buying back stock, and one analyst asked, essentially, why not just hoard more capital given how good things are right now? Barnum's answer was that they'd rather deploy capital organically into branches, technology, hiring, because that's where the real long-term returns are, and buybacks are really an investment decision, not just returning money to shareholders.
And AI came up constantly. Diamond's stance was refreshingly grounded. He expects real efficiency gains, maybe even some slower expense growth by 2027 or 2028. But he was clear that competitive pressure means most of those benefits ultimately flow to customers, not permanently to JP Morgan's margins.
So, what does all this mean for investors going forward? The core takeaway is that JP Morgan is firing on essentially every cylinder: investment banking, trading, consumer, wealth management. But management itself is flagging that some of this quarter's strength, especially in equities and dealmaking, may not repeat at the same magnitude.
The succession story is one to keep watching too. Diamond's tenure timeline hasn't shifted, but the elevation of two co-presidents is clearly setting up the next generation of leadership, and that transition will be a slow burn story for the next few years.
And before we wrap, our closing disclaimer.
Everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Looking ahead, the questions to watch are whether investment banking and markets activity can sustain anywhere near this pace, how the consumer holds up if rates stay elevated, and how that leadership transition unfolds over the next few years.
Lots to track. Thanks for listening to Beta Finch. We'll catch you next quarter.
See you then.